It takes a lot of training to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. This is Father Scott Seethaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Monday, and God wants us to remember that nothing can happen to us today that we and God together cannot handle. You believe that? Come on, you got to believe that. Take one day at a time. To make that point about taking one day at a time, trusting in God, I want to share with you a poem that was written by a young man. He was 14 years old when he wrote this poem. His name is Jason Lehman. The title of the poem is called Present Tense. It was spring, but it was summer I wanted, the warm days and the great outdoors. It was summer, but it was fall I wanted, the colorful leaves and the cold, dry air. It was fall, but it was winter I wanted, the beautiful snow and the joy of the holiday season. It was winter, but it was spring I wanted, the warmth and the blossoming of nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted, the freedom and the respect. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted, to be mature and sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but it was 20 I wanted, the youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle-age I wanted, the presence of mind without limitations. My life was over, but I never got what I wanted. We got to take one day at a time, huh? Even as you take on this Monday with all the things you have to do today, all the things you might be fearing, you have to live one day at a time, enjoying this moment, knowing that if you are enjoying this moment and if your thoughts today often go to God, then this is a great day. It's the great day. Mondays don't have to be such a burden. Well, today's scripture quote comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 38. Very briefly, one sentence, and then I'll give you the context. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Okay, Jesus is talking about his disciples there, right? That's why I said at the beginning of the program, it takes a lot of training to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. We know how weak we are. This statement, the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak, has a number of implications. Let's talk about them. One, as I say so often in my preaching when I'm talking about family life, the road to maturity necessarily involves immaturity, right? In relationship to our bodies, we know that. That's true about our emotions. But let's focus for a moment on our faith walk. For that's the real way of determining whether we're a disciple of Jesus Christ or not. Even our faith walk, the road to maturity necessarily involves immaturity. Little children, their understanding of God is so primitive, they see life through their eyes. It's like that little joke, a mother was cooking dinner when a little girl said to her, "Mommy, do you know what God's name is?" The mother smiled and said, "No, honey, what's God's name?" And the little girl said, "Andy." The mother said, "Andy, why do you say that?" Well, today, in religion class, we sang a song, and it said, "Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me, Andy..." Yeah, so one example, I could go on for hours telling you kids' jokes in relationship to God and church. But nonetheless, the point is that even our faith walk starts with immaturity and hopefully we become mature. And what matures our faith walk very, very quickly is when life beats us up. When we know, and we do know, that life is not fair. Okay? The other thing that makes it difficult to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, a consistent disciple of Jesus Christ, why the training process takes so long, comes from Psalm 51. And scripture scholars say that this Psalm 51 can really be attributed to David. You know, there was a time when all 150 Psalms were attributed to David. But recent scripture scholarship has pretty much shown that that's not the case. But this one, definitely. Now, what does David say? David says to God, "Remember, God, when you judge me, I came into this world with two strikes against me." This is how he says it. "In guilt I was born, and sin my mother conceived me." Right. So again, trying to stay focused as a disciple of Jesus Christ, trying to really be consistently walking in his footsteps, difficult. Because our eyes, our mind, our hearts are all blinded by the guilt and the devastating effects of original sin. I'm not saying they cannot be overcome. Of course they can become overcome. I'm just saying that it's a challenge to overcome them. Okay, and another thing that I think of when I hear this scripture passage, the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak, it's about receiving amazing grace. It's about what Paul says in Romans chapter 5, where sin abounds, grace more abounds. Never, 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 never forget that you have a foot both in the natural world and in the supernatural world. Unfortunately, many people call themselves disciples of Jesus Christ only remember they're in the natural world, only act like natural world is the only world that they're walking around in. In other words, as much as they have been baptized, the baptism has not really caused them to reflect on the fact that St. Peter would say, "We're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people set apart, particularly chosen to be God's special people," right? Okay. So, the more you allow yourself to work and walk in the supernatural world, the more you have a peace the world cannot give and a joy that no one can take away. And the more that you are now very serious about your training to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. The way you pray, the way you forgive, the way you're compassionate, all of that. Very, very important. Now, do we have to do this alone? No. Salvation, Christianity, is not a you and me religion, it's a you and we Jesus religion. Remember, as soon as Jesus started his active ministry, after he was baptized by John in the Jordan River, he brought on disciples. He chose the 12. And then there were the 72 disciples. So obviously, it's a community effort. So don't try to do your training to be a disciple of Jesus Christ all by yourself. It's too hard. You need the prayer of other people. You need the good example of other people. You need mentoring. You need spiritual guidance. You need to be humble enough to seek God, somebody who can help you, fortify yourself, who can help you overcome your human frailties, you know, what Psalm 51 talks about. That's so important. Please, belong to a faith community. I don't care how big the community is, but belong to a faith community. And have people who are more than just yes people. Have people who can challenge you with compassion, with love, with genuine concern about your spiritual growth. But have people who can challenge you so that you will allow yourself to learn from their experiences, to come to know the scriptures, to have a prayer partner. Yeah. In doing that, you grow more and more into being a good follower of Jesus Christ. Now, for those of you who are Catholic and listening to the program today, there's one other gigantic help in the whole process of becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ, and that's the sacramental system. We have the seven sacraments in the Roman Catholic Church. We talk about the sacraments being there for us from womb to tomb. We have baptism. We have reconciliation. We have Eucharist that gives us intimacy with Jesus. We have that adult commitment that we make at confirmation. Some people are called to marriage, which we really believe is a sacrament. Then those are those who are called not to the universal priesthood, because everybody's called to that by baptism, but those to the ministerial priesthood, like I was called. And of course, there's the sacrament of the sick, for those people who are struggling with their health and with end-of-life issues. So here we have these seven sacraments that will help us not get bogged down, who will help us to stay faithful to Jesus, who will help us to fine-tune our commitment as disciples of Jesus Christ. Okay, our food for thought today comes from a Chinese proverb. Do not use a hatchet to remove a fly from your friend's forehead. All right? Don't nuke him if you have to correct him. My dad always said, you know, get more flies with a teaspoon of honey than you can get with a whole gallon of vinegar. I should use that sometime as the quote for the day, the food for thought. Who do I want you to pray for today? I want you to pray for immigrants. Everybody who's listening to this program today come from family of immigrants. Whether you're second, third, or fourth generation here in the United States, you still had immigrant grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. Uh-huh, yes siree. Even if your ancestors came over on the Mayflower, still. Or they came with Columbus. So please pray for immigrants. Our country has always been a country of immigrants. In recent years that has slowed down. In recent years there's been a lot of debate about immigration in our country. In recent years there's been a lot of tension. But, you know, it's the immigration. In fact, people are not having kids now. So if it wasn't for immigrants, the United States would be like Western Europe. Our population would be dropping significantly. And it's not easy for immigrants to come here. Yeah, they come for the most part, because the majority of them are not criminal. They come here for a better life. They come to escape extreme poverty or an injustice or a corrupt government. We ask God to bless them. All right, let me see if I can make you smile or laugh right now. A teacher said, class, give me a sentence using the word denial. A little boy raised his hand. He said, Cleopatra lived in denial. Denial? Okay. I liked it. Want to contact me, Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me hear from you, especially if you did like that last joke and you have the same sense of humor as I do. Or if you have prayer intentions you want me to pray about. Or if you want to receive my newsletter. And certainly, I'd love if you would write a check to help me support my hospital for the poor in Oaxaca, Mexico. Make the check out to TASH, Tash, Inc., and send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy.
Joyful, joyful, Lord.